Well, this was a huge backflip, and I've got to say it was a very, very welcome one too. After much outrage, the decision to allow one of Jack Beasley's killers free on parole was reversed. The stunning turnaround was revealed by Queensland's Parole Board yesterday afternoon. Now, Jack's family have spent the holiday season anxiously awaiting the verdict if their son's killer would be released from jail after serving 4 years of a 7-year sentence. After initially being informed they had 21 days to respond to his plea for parole, now that came just before Christmas, the family later found out that a decision had been reached just 4 days later. That would have seen one of his attackers released on January 15. Now, following this, the family has acted in a last-ditch effort to dispute the decision. Yesterday, the Beasley family were contacted and informed the decision had been reviewed and parole had been scrapped, acknowledging the mistake made and issuing an apology. Brett Beasley, who's Jack's father, spoke with Peter Fegan on 4BC Breakfast this morning. Peter's been campaigning hard against this parole decision.
Mate, we cannot thank you guys, especially you, Pete, and 4BC and all of our Gold Coast supporters has got to be honest for this, because this just made our day yesterday afternoon. And it's been a real stressful couple of days. It's stress that Blinder and I and our family didn't need, especially in December. In December with, Jack's anniversary, and December's a bit of a shit month for us. So, it's just an added extra stress level that we did not need, and we're glad that it's come. The end result's good, and we hope this doesn't happen to anybody else.
Now, for those who don't know the story, for listeners who don't know the story, Jack Beasley was a 17-year-old boy. He was stabbed to death in Surfers Paradise in 2019. A 15-year-old boy committed the actual stabbing. 17-year-old boy, and this is the one we're talking about, getting parole, the 17-year-old who actually threw the first punch in this fight. So he was heavily involved in this too. He went down for manslaughter. The person who was charged with murder and convicted of murder is still in custody. Both now will remain in custody. But joining me for more on this is Calvin Ganek, former police officer, now the managing director of Ganek and Associates, and he specialises in criminal law and professional misconduct. We want to know what this decision means going forward, Calvin. A very good afternoon to you.
Hello, Bianca. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thank you. Thanks for joining us. It's a little confusing because I think people know a lot about, a little bit about the legal system and what it means when someone gets put in jail. But what happens after that, they apply for parole?
Yes, Bianca, perhaps it's helpful if we have a look exactly what's happened with this matter in the last 7 days. So when someone is sentenced to imprisonment, they are given what's called a parole eligibility date. So they, once that date arrives, they can make application to the parole board to be released on parole. So before Christmas, if as it's reported is correct, the parole board, as they're required to do, advised that this offender had applied for parole. And if I could address Jack's parents as Brett and Belinda, received a letter saying they had 21 days to respond. That's part of the law here in Queensland, and that is that eligible people, eligible persons under the Act, from Brett and Belinda are certainly that, are given information and they are given the opportunity, 21 days, to provide a submission for consideration by the parole board. Now, the reason why, despite the lack of transparency, to be honest, from the parole board, which is disappointing with their media release, if that law, that 21 days, is not complied with, then they would have lost on any challenge to their decision, because the Judicial Review Act requires them to comply with the law, and if they don't comply with the law, that's a ground for judicial review. So that is why the decision was rescinded. It became blatantly obvious that the failure to comply with the 21 days would have resulted in that decision being overturned. Now, what we're left with now is, if it hasn't been already in the correspondence received by Brett and Belinda, that 21 days will start again. So this offender has applied for parole. That requirement for that parole application to be considered by the board will have to happen again. And Brett and Belinda will be given 21 days to put their submission in, and the parole board will ultimately consider that application for parole on its merits again.
Am I right in saying that Brett and Belinda only can put that submission? It's only input. It's not an appeal. It's not anything like that. It is just having their say, basically.
Yeah, so I know there's been a differing opinion put forward earlier today in regards to the rights of Brett and Belinda. I have a slightly different view, but at that early point when the parole board have not yet made a decision, they're required to take into account all the relevant factors, and by law, one of those relevant factors is taking into consideration any submission put forward by Brett and Belinda. So the parole board would then make their decision, and if the offender was released on parole, so the parole board made a decision to release them on parole, certainly the state has a right of review. In my opinion, and there's no authority here in Queensland for this, and my research suggests it's never happened before, but the mere fact that the law allows for Brett and Belinda to make a submission before the decision was made, that gives a very strong indication that under the Judicial Review Act, Brett and Belinda would also have rights. But as I say, there's no authority for that here in Queensland, and I don't think it's been attempted before. So if I'm wrong in that space, I think there should be no doubt that the law in Queensland should be that Brett and Belinda or family members in that same situation should have rights.
Oh, absolutely. Victims should have rights. In this case, it seems that unnecessarily Brett and Belinda have been put through so much extra emotional stress, which seems to be just some sort of mishandling of paperwork. Or is there something more sinister in it? Did they try to rush this through at Christmas?
Listen, I'm not sure, and I don't be speculating, but can I say this, that in 2016 there was a review, the Sofronoff review of the parole system here in Queensland, and that was because the system was broken then. And despite that report and the creation of the parole board as we have it today, the system is still broken. It is time for another review, another inquiry in regards to the parole system here in Queensland. Over the last 5 years or so, we've had numerous criticisms from many organisations such as the Law Society, etc., of the parole system, in the great delays in regards to making decisions. In the last 5 years, there's been a real lack of compliance to their statutory regime in regards to timeframes. And the really poor events that have occurred over the last 7 days is just another example of why the parole system needs to be reviewed. It really is one of the cornerstones of the criminal justice system. And we're at a point now where, even dating back to 2021, the Queensland Court of Appeal has made very scathing comments that judicial officers have to alter their sentencing discretion, taking into account the dysfunction that exists in the parole system. So what we actually have is the ramifications of a dysfunctional parole system, and now judicial officers in all courts being told by the Court of Appeal, you need to sit back and take into account that the parole system isn't working, it's not making timely decisions, so you should consider alternatives in the sentencing process. And those alternatives, unfortunately, are going back decades to where they're what's called wholly suspended sentences or partially suspended sentences. And what that results in is offenders, serious offenders, being sentenced to imprisonment. And then on the day that they're released without any conditions or law enforcement having any knowledge of where they're living, who they're associating with, or any of those strict conditions that are available when someone is on parole.
And that certainly doesn't meet community expectations, because when we're seeing, especially, you know, at the moment in this youth crime crisis with young criminals going into custody, the community expects them to serve sentences.
That's right. And there is perhaps ill-informed part of this process that the community sometimes, in my opinion, have, and that's in regards to parole is just letting the offenders out free. It's very onerous parole, and parole serves a very significant purpose in the criminal justice system. And I think Mr. Sofronoff, in his inquiry in 2015, if I could quote him, said, "The only purpose of parole is to reintegrate a prisoner into the community before the end of a prison sentence to decrease the chance the prisoner will ever reoffend." So if you balance the two options here, and that is someone gets sentenced to a period of imprisonment and they're released with no conditions or supervision, as I say, law enforcement, no support, the likelihood of reoffending is significant. And just the lack of supervision is undesirable from a community point of view. Whereas parole is you serve a period of imprisonment, and when you're released with a series of very stringent conditions. And if you breach those conditions, such as not residing at the address that you're required to, not reporting when told to, you often don't go back before a court to determine what should happen to you. It is just automatic that you return to prison to serve the remainder of your sentence. So it is a really, I keep calling it the cornerstone of the criminal justice system, and that is that parole is so very important as that link between imprisonment and reintegration into the community.
Yeah, I think you're right in saying that there does need to be some reviews of Queensland's parole board, that's for sure, if they're delaying making decisions and then changing what sentences are ultimately for people who are offending and giving them, you know, non-custodial sentences as a result. I think there's something really wrong with that system and something has to change. What are your thoughts, Calvin, on what will happen from here in this particular case? You believe that that prisoner will reapply for parole and then Brett and Belinda will be then given that 21-day notice and they'll have to then respond to that.
Yes, so I would expect that the application the offender made is still on foot. So there won't even be a need for a further application. And it's simply the case that because the law was not complied with in allowing for that 21-day period for Brett and Belinda to provide that submission, we'll go back to that process. And if they haven't received that notice yet, I expect it would be very soon. They will have 21 days. The parole board will consider all the relevant material and make a new decision as to whether this offender should be released on parole or denied or have the parole application dismissed.
My guest is Calvin Ganek. He is a criminal lawyer, and we're talking about the case of Jack Beasley's killer being allowed out on parole. That decision was overturned, but it sounds like now it is an eventuality, isn't it? It will happen at some point.
Yes, that's correct. I can't see it being any other way. So if you look at it from the offender's perspective, which we have to do in situations like this, he's applied for parole. He's received a positive decision and that's been rescinded because the law has not been complied with by the parole board. So that process needs to start again to allow the offender to make that application. I can't see it ending in any other way other than the process starting again and the law being complied with. But as I say, Bianca, this really is undesirable set of circumstances that Brett and Belinda have had to experience over this festive period. And it really is the last straw, in my opinion, with a broken system that needs a review and an urgent review.
Yeah, look, it seems unnecessary. It really seems like there's been a major stuff up here on behalf of Belinda and Brett, but also on behalf of this prisoner. And I don't have any feelings whatsoever for him and what he's done. And I know he was a child when it all unfolded, but I have no sympathy for him. But it just seems like it has put unnecessary stress on everyone in this process, all because of a stuff up, basically.
Yes, and I think the answer to or the response to any criticisms that's ever been made, and to be fair, it has been constant over the last 5 years or so with the parole board, and that is a lack of resourcing. With parole and the parole system being so central to the criminal justice system, and we've seen in the last few years how offending and the rate of offending has increased and the expectation that offenders are imprisoned more often than what they were, say, 10 years ago, we now have a situation where the resourcing and the management of the parole system just simply is collapsing and it's pretty catastrophic at the moment.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining me, Calvin. You've explained all of that really well. That is Calvin Ganek, Managing Director of Ganek & Associates.
Thank you.